for the 5D Collective, we have some amazing times. Anyone who is new, a 5D person is a person who is at the very least aware of their emotional spectrum in a way of having a window of welcome. Or even if there is a window of tolerance, it is not one where you justify the emotional triggers. So the adaptive child behavior, the projection of unfinished business. So you know how to be aware of your own adaptive child and to tend to it. And so not to project your nervous system's needs on another, but to instead talk about it. And obviously that doesn't mean you don't have a reaction. No, it means you're aware of those adaptive child patterns. Okay, so 5D Collective is aware of enlightenment, the human way. They are aware of our mammalian heritage, our birthright to be a restorative embodied self and your open-hearted three-year-old self. Doesn't mean you're there yet, but you are very much in the I'm not going to be an ego-sensitive 4D person or 3D. I'm going to be a person who is going to take that journey of personal development. And the personal development can also integrate a therapist, of course. So those of you who are, again, aware of the aspects of our human nature, that's why the 5D is having a different way of harnessing everything that comes with all of these new ascension energies. And they're not new. We've been having ascension energies for a long time already, but they're not taking them and saying there are energy vampires, dark auras, and so on and so forth. The 4D collective and 3D, on the other hand, are not interested in emotional building regulation skills, in emotional heavy lifting. They are not keen on personal development in a way of let me tend to what comes up. They project it. In fact, what I've noticed is a spirituality bypass, and so the codependency type person, martyrs or superiors, spirituality again, bypassers, and the blamers. So the shame cycle is what you will notice they will be actively participating in, but their behavior is something they don't look at, like a Cusco not looking at himself. So from the Emperor's New Groove, the 5D Collective are Pachas, and the rest is Cuscos, and this is not a competition. You can't go to somebody and say, hey, I think you need to go to therapy. That's pretty much not your job or nice or, you know, again. So 5D Collective knows that every person's journey, their way back home to their heart, to be their self. We didn't need to do Frozen 2. We got to understand we're humans first, and we do bring with us the spiritual and spirituality stuff, but we're a whole three-year-old heart. So we choose to be our humanity. And that's why it's easy for the person who's a 5D collective individual to say, yeah, I want to learn how to do my emotions like a grown-up. It's fun. Functional adults, conscious lovers, it's fun. 3D, 4D has a different mindset. They have a different approach. And that's where the good therapists are out there. There's a lot of education. So everyone has access to YouTube and online. Well, not everybody, but you understand what I'm saying. So in the meantime, for us, ascension energies allow the human love narrative and your consciousness to expand. We bring more Pachas out into the world for specific guidance on personal development, inner growth, all this great stuff we talk about. You can become a paid subscriber for anything curiosity related. You can just send emails and ask away. We have FAQs. I look forward to hearing from you all. Let's continue with our episode. When we are people who have a whole three-year-old heart, you will know of no trauma charges lingering. When you hear people in the group that talks about post-traumatic growth, they have a very different way that they feel about life. Okay, so what I get to bring to those who are in a 5D collective embrace, I'm a mystic in the Enlightenment Soul Age group, and a 5D individual, I learned of 5D as oneness, consciousness, Christ consciousness. I was already enamored with it due to me loving Jesus. And that story is one of my ones that I don't share as often. But I got my first light body experience is my confirmation, the Holy Spirit. Although we have, you know, 3D, obviously a mystic is considered by some of those who are in the ancient textbooks as, you know, not, ancient people still live the ancient times. The 4D, they talk about it in another ridiculous way. It's spiritual warfare. Well, not really, but I get it. So when I have conversations with 3D, 4D, and different states of consciousness individuals, it's always pleasant because we are open-minded, but we have a different way that we come to the same conclusions. And in fact, the part about being able to talk to different people is because when you're people who know about being yourself, those individuals who accept their belief systems as true and then can share them with other people, that's what we're talking about right now. Okay, so it's choosing love. It's choosing your humanity that allows you to create relationships and have a giving heart. It is not the pain you go through. When I hear the teenagers highlighting that you can only be a good teacher in enlightenment or in any of the spirituality, or for that matter, when it comes to personal development, because you've been through pain, I'm like, well, I didn't have to stub my toe to choose love. I mean, Jesus made it clear to me as a child growing up, and I also have a mother that, thank goodness, she's equanimous. And so I learned all about equanimity. Means I learned how not to feel ashamed or humiliated. Thank you, Mom, or any of that, for being a sensitive human being. So I got to learn that emotions are good. No, they're part of, it's not good or bad. So those words, you know, whenever I'm seeing anyone trying to highlight pain, I'm like, okay, you're another one who apparently doesn't know how to easily love. And let me share how, human love narrative over here. And so with all of this being said, and my throat keeps on wanting to, we have some lovely lunar eclipse energy. So I'm going to be also channeling for my lovely collective here that does know about the lunar eclipse. So when you don't speak your truth from the heart, it creates blockage. When you always speak your truth from the heart, you learn how to moderate. Thanks, Mom. I learned how to moderate my tone because I do not hold back any of my three-year-old. And luckily for me, like I was saying, I didn't get shamed with all of those basic emotions. So I got to be angry, I got to be sad, I got to be a child with them. And so no suppression equals I grow up and organically move out of that narcissistic bubble that we all have. So my three-year-old doesn't keep on doing the let me compare myself. My one-year-old doesn't feel that my lifeline is going to get cut. I have a twin, so that might be something that supported me because I was already having to share space. So when you have to share space and you're being held with equanimity, you already have that first relationship, which is why intimacy with myself is all here. I'm myself all the time, not just sometimes. This is very important to note because when you learn from attachment, trauma, information, people, the therapists, the good ones, which I learned from, they all have shared with me what is it? Everyone wants to be seen, soothed, then secure, no, safe and secure. So I was definitely seen, not always soothed, but I was safe and secure to be myself because my twin and I fight like cats and dogs. We don't do it anymore like grown-ups, but we still do, really. I mean, but we always have seen it as part of our energy. And in fact, here's where when you learn about, again, good attachment, trauma-informed therapist, they inform you of how siblings work and how you'll have one which will be a higher energy, the other which will complement with the lower energy. And when you learn about being a mystic, you learn about duality, and I've learned about duality for a long time. So there's no sacrifice. There's no, I need to go through excruciatingly pain. Every time I have to think of the human suffering love narrative, I think of my teenage years with the dramatic teenagers. So we're going to get to that in a minute. But yes, anyone who doesn't do love easy and you don't want to, it's okay. Go to your cheerleaders and, the ones who basically take that pain point you got and say, here, let's highlight it. Become a group like teenagers do. Cheer each other on. Find a reason of why we're living when really, Shiva, come on in. There's a bunch of unknowns in life. And the fact that you are not able to explore it potentially from the depths of you is why the lovely existential psychologists and the physicists and all the sciences people will use this word, the human dilemma, while I use the human condition, because my mind is my friend. My divine masculine is my friend. It's not my best. No, it's my friend. My friends tell me shit in my face, so they're not going to hide shit from me. Literally, if they don't like me, I don't like right now what you're doing. These are my friends. And I find that the ones who are this, they have a whole three-year-old heart, or they have their three-year-old right in the forefront. Like, yep, this is who I am. I love to be cool like this. Okay, so when a person just spells out who they are, I love it. Oh my gosh, I love my friends. So yeah, they'll say fuck you for real, not pretend. And at my 44 years of age, I can say that I have at least a handful of these people, and they're my favorites, because with them, I know that if they're thinking you're a piece of shit right now, they're going to come out and say it. And I was a teenager when I was learning how people would say, you're sensitive. I'm like, no, I have emotions. It's not sensitive, but you know, okay, I don't get humor, but long story short, what I'm trying to get at is I love having actual honest people in my life. To see the person who's a whole three-year-old heart, thanks mom, who knows that the world doesn't revolve around me, but I can say whatever I want, because why not? If I'm not breaking any laws and I'm basically telling you my thoughts and emotions, I'm not doing anything wrong. Now, if you want me to filter my mouth for you, I'm going to know that you're, yes, a Cusco. A Cusco with an attitude. No, you're just an adaptive child. You don't have emotional accountability, maturity. You don't know how to use your nervous system. You don't even know how to use your brain. Because if you did, you'd know how to do the inner growth mindset. And I want to be compassionate. Come on in. Attachment, trauma-informed people. Thank you so much. So childhood trauma, those who could use a good therapist so they can actually move into self-empowerment, versus go around talking about, I'm going to be unapologetically me. And you see them silencing men, women, theys, all of it, all online, or Venus of Goddess. Oh my God, that lady. Girls, remember, if a man says he wants to fuck you, please don't think of wedding bells. And I'm thinking, where's the man with the balls? Because I want to meet him. I seriously want to meet him. Like, I have friends who are honest. I want to meet that man. I have not met that man. And in fact, actually, I'm pretty sure a manly man won't do that either. And that's because my manly man friends have told me. And I'm like, yeah, I get it. It would be pretty odd. But then again, I'd shake that man's hand. I would. Me personally, I so would shake that man's hand. And now that I've said it, don't come to me, man, please. I know that now that I've said it, it's out in the open, so it doesn't count. I'm saying, out of the blue, some human being who has the ability to be that honest with you is just the most enriching experience for a person who's a divine feminine. Yes, a mystic divine feminine. So see, when you do have pure consciousness, which is a whole three-year-old heart, that's really all it is. It's an open-hearted, spontaneous human being who's like, wow, you can say anything you want to me. I'm not gonna, what do you think you're doing? You're just telling me your opinion. Did you think that I'm gonna put you on a pedestal or beneath? I'm sorry, wait, you didn't think. So what I was trying to say, the childhood trauma survivor people, they all share. The good therapist people, the ones who talk about the 0-1-year-old wanting to be seen, to be sued, to be safe, to be secure, they don't know people that are secure because we don't need them. And we're out having fun with the grown-ups, the emotional grown-ups. And when we see YouTube or any of what's going on right now, all of us are like, what the fuck? Where's the intellect? They are all flat earthers. And I'm a 5D mystic. I'm woo-woo pseudoscience lady for a reason. I'm like, yeah, it's okay over here. I know the academics are doing a great job at reminding people there's no inherently good or evil. So sorry, you're still living with ancient textbooks and not attachment trauma information. Okay, so when people have charges and trauma and unresolved, all of it, they go and play it out, which is why we see YouTube with Cuscos all over the place and trending topics. It reminds me of high school. One of my lovely years in high school, as we all gathered around, all of us with the different clubs, they put us in clubs, right? You had a club, French club, Italian club, international club. We got the people who joined the military club. I was in a military, yes, DODD school, which is probably good for me. Otherwise, I'm pretty sure I would have been not very great in civilian school. Yes. I have a feeling that I'm not in love with a lot of people, and a lot of people would not have been in love with me because I would have totally ratted them all out. And at least with the ODD, I knew who to go to. the principal, who would then go to the general, which who then would go to the fathers, mothers, and whoever it is, and get yelled at, and that kid would be in deep, deep shit. So I knew everything about how to make sure that they couldn't beat me up. And yes, I was that teenager. Oh, and I'm not sorry about it either, because I remember noticing how, cowardly. You see, the word coward comes to my brain when I was a teenager. And I knew, being 4'9", it's better not to use that word, Maria. They really are going to punch you in the face. And apparently I was protected by my twin. But she doesn't remember saying this stuff to my mother. So it's okay, though, because I wasn't trying to be cool. I learned how none of what teenagers do is cool. In fact, I learned how the adults, definitely the adults, complete knowing what to tell you of how to be healthy self-worth. Yes. Totally. Thanks, Mom, and schools that I had. But no, wait, I listened, because with my ears, I heard them. Okay, so when you have a relationship with your higher self, this is where divine feminine comes in. Pure consciousness is Purusha Prakriti. I didn't disconnect from this lovely sphere of the infinite Akash. And it was called at the time God, because I was introduced to God and Jesus. And I love Jesus and I love God too. But I respect that some people would not want me to use that word. I respectfully will use Akash and consciousness, but the essence of life and love is God. That's what I know, not an entity. And as a mystic, again, it's beautiful. the physicist people call it the hard problem of consciousness. Anytime I hear the word problem, I'm like, there ain't no problem. You just don't know everything. And apparently you're not married with Shiva, meaning you don't have fun with the fact that you don't know everything and you don't go into the educational realm of your own with, oh, I'm gonna have fun today, I get to discover shit. you're literally trying to fix a problem that doesn't exist. It's basically not a problem. You could see it as you could use a different word. I'm gonna leave that one alone, because, you know, for Albert Einstein's quote, every person who's negative, they have a problem for every solution. So right now it's more of, if you used your words better, then you'd be able to have fun while looking into topics. But that's, again, bigger scope than what I'm here for. I'm here for the self-empowered individual who wants to show up fully and complete. No, who does. Says, I have emotions, so do you, and nobody needs pain to say, I choose love. No. Basically, when you get treated in, like, unkind ways, back to childhood trauma people, thank you, Patrick Tiahan, because his biggest regret from his childhood, which does involve childhood trauma, is that it made him unkind. I don't have regrets from my childhood. I chose love. Thank you, Jesus. Mother, of course, my mother, God again. But it wasn't because I'm going to go to heaven, which is, I know what people think. No, because I realized that those are stories that I was told. As I grew up, no, I chose from my heart in here, the heart of mine, as I got into interactions with teenagers who showed me just how unreliable and completely uncaring they were. And to this day, when I see adults who are still teenagers, now this is where it's about, what am I going to use? So if you don't have the ability to tend to your own emotional nervous system stuff, which most people who are teenagers don't, it's called, I'm going to project my shame, blame, fault, and revenge game, which is not a game, it's Cusco land. I'm going to project my insecurities, my low self-esteem mannerisms all over the place. And I will use my passive-aggressive tone and manipulative tactics and be an indirect communicator and a bunch of things that I saw as teenagers and that I grew up and then didn't really give two shits about. Because seriously, if that is your idea of a grown-up, I just thought people would grow up. And then I realized, no, wow, we don't have grown-ups out there. Like I said, I love my honest friends. They're grown-ups. So that means they tell me, fuck you, if they're thinking it. And I appreciate it. I learned as I got older with my close friends, the ones that I thought they were assholes. Because see, an asshole to me means that you're not going to shy away from telling me what you think. I realized that that's not true. That assholes are just as much insecure as any person who will hide the truth from you. So in either cases, I just met people that like to say, pain got me here, and I'm not there. I'm like, pain didn't get me here. I literally got here with my feet and my hands, and I don't know why first world people are making such a big deal out of relationships, since we have food, water, sun, a lot of things that a lot of people don't have, and I'm going to say that I'm pretty lucky. Anybody who's tuning into any podcast is going to be pretty lucky, in my opinion, if you got YouTube, You know, what I find humorous is when you see people like this one dude, he was in the middle of the forest somewhere with a fancy camera, fancy microphone, literally telling people to get offline. And I'm like, what the fuck? You're in the middle of nowhere with a camera and, you know, equipment that I don't even have. And you're telling people to get offline, which, by the way, is a contradiction. You ain't going to get any subscribers like that. Okay, my throat. But this is Akash trying to tell me, okay, Maria, enough with the humor. Let's get to the messages, shall we? Yes, we will, because it's a bit of a channeled guidance, my lovely listeners, as we have the lunar eclipse. So when people don't know how to be their self, they just hide shit all the time. It's boring. We don't hide our pain. We don't have a pain. Emotions are not painful for those of us who love to love. So I choose love on purpose. Thanks, Jesus. And Jesus is, in fact, the one who also picked me up with my ears at a certain point. Oh, that was humorous and beautiful at the same time. As well as when I got to move out of the 4D bandwidth and into the 5D. And this is the part which was very much interesting. And we won't talk about that one today. But it is totally something I look forward to reading about in Patrick McNamara's Religious Self, the book that I have, because I know that I'm going to read parts that I will also already have experienced, because our brain, when you integrate your brain and you're expanding your consciousness, there's a bunch of beautiful things that happen, because your REM and disparate ideas come together and all of it, and it's amazing. So as a divine feminine, again, with my own divine masculine, of my own somatic experience here, I can share that yes, choosing love is easy, because you think, when somebody is breaking my heart, okay, one, they don't know how to love, obviously, because otherwise they wouldn't break a heart. So unkindness, again, Patrick Tiahan's biggest regret, and it's because he knows that he lost his innocence and his three-year-old, and he got back to it, and then he shares with others how to reparent themselves. I didn't lose mine. I didn't lose my innocence, and in fact, I to this day don't watch my back when I'm with people. They can do whatever the fuck they want, because as long as there's no weapon, I don't need to be afraid. And if they do what? Lie? Oh, I already know all about liars, and that's like my teenage years. Now I got through all of that one. I knew it was a great thing, like my BFF, when she threw somebody else under the bus while it was her who kissed my boyfriend. Yeah. That one is the one time where I shared with my listeners. I told myself, okay, I'm going to need 7 days, because otherwise I'm going to speak and I don't want to speak right now. I'm going to say things I don't want to say, and really I just don't want to see her right now. I'm going to wait 7 days, then I can go and talk to her like a human being. And I waited, and when I went to talk to her, I said a couple of things or more, but I learned one, I will not be gossiping ever again. Although people want to say you gossip just by sharing your stories, I'm fine with that. But I knew that I had gossiped with her, because we actually talked bad about this human being. So I was involved in doing something that I did, you know, this is the part of being emotionally accountable and humanly accountable. I didn't shit on myself. I wasn't my BFF, and I wasn't my enemy. I was, okay, what'd you learn? Well, I learned that I don't like when people throw other people under the bus and don't know how to say I did it. I also learned that because people trick you, and then they get you again, they trick you, and anyways, you just learn, why would I do that? Look what I did. I did a wrong thing because I actually trusted another, and I assumed. So you learn how to, no assumptions. I don't like assumptions. I don't have to. When you grow up emotionally, it means there's no movies with your relationships. So I learn, and people who say, no, but they're an asshole. No, my friend's not an asshole. They did what they did. You know why? They were afraid. So they have a very valid excuse. It's called, I have emotional fear. I don't take ownership of the things I do. And I'm a teenager. So to me, I was like, okay, they're a teenager. Young teenager. I'm a grown up now. You know, huh? Didn't change much. Thanks, attachment trauma-informed people. It's called the adaptive child of people. So if you don't move out of your fight response, your charge state of your teenager, that's why we have YouTube with all those teenagers, with the women, and it actually sounds like teenagers on a screen, and they're not. They're women who are grown-ups, and I'm like, you're not a grown-up in my book, because that's not emotional grown-up land. That's literally emotional, immature land, and you're all gonna be in a very specific space. They ruined my fairy tale after 3 months. I'm gonna create the rule. I'm not gonna fuck you unless you're with me for a whole year. Oh my gosh. I'm like, yeah, okay, that's pretty much how it goes, how it rolls for those who want to have a sense of certainty and control over people and things that you can't actually. Okay, so this is why when your human love narrative, you just grow more and more loving as you process what is not painful. Basically, when people answered me again and again and again that they were all afraid to tell me the truth, I just learned that being confident apparently makes people afraid. And as I grew up, I didn't really give a shit about fear people because I don't want friends who are afraid of living life. I mean, seriously, no, I have friends. I don't care if they're afraid of living life. I'm living life. That's what it means to choose love. Thanks, Jesus. You live life. You love people. You do things. Friendships, relationships, they're all a bonus. Did nobody learn this as a teenager? I remember I chose my friends on purpose. Like I choose them now on purpose. I know exactly who I'm getting involved in. No, I don't. I will find out though in time, which is why, again, I don't need to look behind my back. I'm going to see you in front of me. And if you are behind my back doing anything suspicious, I won't figure it out because I don't want to. Because why would I use my attention, which is my highest form of, what is it? No, it is one of the highest forms of love. Why would I use love to try and figure you out? I'm trusting. That's why I'm in a relationship with you in the first place. So I don't need to be looking. If I don't trust you, I won't be in a relationship with you. I'll actually say, hey, you know, I don't trust you, so I'm not going to be with you, friend, person. But that seems ridiculous because What do I care what you do with your own life? So when my friends lied to me about being together as a couple, and this was in my mid-20s, I totally said, wait a minute. They didn't trust me to be happy for them. Huh, that reminds me of my teenage years when I found out that there are these sentences that people use. Like, people won't tell you that you are prettier than them, meaning that they will lie to you and they won't support you. Like, I don't have people or want people like that. And then you figure out, oh, wait a minute. Some people, they actually consistently maintain low self-esteem. So they will consistently be envious, jealous of their own. Wow, that's okay. Am I a person who, no envy, no jealousy here. Okay, so there we go. Keep moving forward. Really petty behavior is what comes to my brain, but I need to be compassionate. Attachment trauma therapist, come on in the door, please. As they share with me why to this day we have a cancel culture out there. Lo and behold, the cancel culture people, they don't know healthy boundaries because what they're doing is called adaptive child. They don't have the ability to build emotional regulation skills and talk to each other in their face, in each other's faces, people. Okay, so here's where I have a couple of stories or more. I've always talked in the face of my twin flames. No standing down at all. Not even a little bit. Complete face-to-face. Oh, well, that is if they wanted face-to-face. I don't need face-to-face to express my thoughts, though. I love to use words, so I can write. I can write. I can send voice notes. I can do everything, and I will. I don't hold back. That's what it's called, to be all of you. And then when you don't have fear of being, what is it called? Vulnerable? Yeah. What is a relationship again? Remind me, people. So when you meet teenagers who consistently seem to be vulnerable. No, wait. What is it? I'm a grown-up now. The therapist. That's what I'm thinking about. They have couples that are married that don't want to be vulnerable. Do you know how that sounds to a person who just lives from the pure 3-year-old heart of me right here, sharing your host here? I'm like, wow, they're missing out so much on life. Wow, that's so. But luckily for us, it's 2024. I have a buttload of attachment and trauma information in addition to the inner growth mindset. So all the ones who want to transmute their pain and be a grown-up, come on over here because we have fun because it's your embodied brain. So it's not some magical power. It's not some whoop to do. It is something that for the people who have had, again, not secure attachment, that one I want you to remember, the not secure attachment is important because emotions will be a bit deeper and a bit more scary. And because your 0-1-year-old was panicky and attached like mine, but yours didn't get to attach, mine did. So the body of yours is the first step, and that's your divine feminine. And then your mind is your divine masculine. If you can handle silencing the masculine, the left mode, your verbal chit-chatter, So you say, okay, hold on a minute, brain. Let me stop you from talking for just a second. Okay, then your right mode is a nonverbal, and you just notice, am I handling emotions? Am I grounded? One. Okay, so definitely, if some of you know of being in clinical dissociation, that means you have a window of tolerance that you want to expand. You would know these things because a person who has clinical dissociation will feel off. Okay, so that's just one tidbit note over here. Okay, so that is why for the people who talk about only once you've been through pain, you can be a teacher, they have all gone through post-traumatic growth. The ones of us who don't have trauma with emotions because we don't feel charged, because we process the charges as they come up. What this means is my nervous system, Maria's nervous system, has not ever been overwhelmed in a way of feeling so uncomfortable with my emotional plane that I needed to clinically dissociate. My body has not done that. Now, the panic attacks, since I began having them, I know exactly how to handle them. And the one thing I'm going to say is, again, this is not a competition. I use my stories to give you the example of how some people know how to work with a window of welcome to emotions. That's all. That's all this is one human can do it, more than one can do it. Okay? Now, we all have differences, which is why knowing about those who have clinical dissociation is important. As I'm saying, here we learn personal development and the emotional building regulation skills are a combination of the inner growth mindset and the attachment trauma information that I've gained and I'm still gaining throughout the years, because I want to support people who want to be their self. And this is the part of what you already know, content creator, and the whole mentor stuff and the paid subscriber content when if you feel like, hey, she can give me maybe tidbits over here, over there. So as we move forward, we'll keep on transforming. But the IHP is a community of people who are tapping into a person here who knows how to share with you the infinite higher human conscious potential experience, how to be yourself and how awesome it is. Okay. Human love narrative. So no stories of the ancient biblical text. When we use anything, the evil scale, Michael Stone, forensic criminologist, demonic possession, no. Patrick McNamara, neuroscientist, and I am a mystic, and I know about the oversoul and the mind's eye and the plane of energy that the 4D and 3D don't experience in the way that I share with you. They have a different way. My way is enlightenment, the human way, and I share with you how easy it is for me to download and be having some shit go down in my brain and be able to stay in my prefrontal cortex, which is simply my restorative embodied self. You have it too. The difference is it was not pain, and it has not been pain that led me here. It's been my choice to say, I love you and I love me and I love people, and you didn't do anything wrong by lying because you were afraid. And if you're afraid, well, I can't do shit for you, can I? When people are afraid, it's their own unfinished business from home. The childhood trauma survivors, they're all childhood trauma somewhere. Because whether you don't have a secure attachment and you don't have a whole three-year-old heart, you're going to be unkind the same way Patrick Tiahan acknowledges his childhood made him and that he's now out of. So when I see teenagers, they all have not reparented themselves. And in fact, lo and behold, as a 44-year-old woman, what I have to witness when I go out with my girlfriends, not all of them. I'm just going to leave that sigh right here because, it's something that I saw. And I'm just being lied to by two people because they fuck behind the doors and I'm not even a girlfriend. Like, I'm just completely like, what the hell? Are you serious? What is this? I don't understand. We go out, we have fun, and you both hide who is your friend out of the entire group. Now, that makes me think a lot of things. But the biggest thing is you don't think I want your happiness. That's the number one thing that came to my brain, which is why it was something I addressed with both of them and in their face. And lo and behold, I got two different interactions. One, which at the very least was like, I don't give a shit what you're saying. This is what I chose to do, which I appreciate. Because at the very least, you're like, this is me. I'm here. And that's okay, because that's how I do things too. I'm here as well. So good. We can have a standoff of, okay, you took accountability. So did I, by being able to be straight with you. My other friend, the one that I didn't talk to for 5 years, that's where this is what I don't do. I don't appreciate. I don't appreciate people throwing other people under the bus. This is a person who's not taking accountability or ownership. And yes, it's a man in this case. And, you know, I'm sorry, men. Apparently, you have a big, big, harder deal with all of this emotional stuff, which really makes me think, as a woman, when people want to tell me that they're men and they have balls. If you don't know how to actually take accountability for your emotions, you have no balls in my court. You have no pain, no nothing. You just get away from me. And I literally am trying to be so respectful, because to this day, I do not adhere to gender stereotypes. But men consistently show me their inability to actually. So this friend of mine, we're friends again, as they look at me and they point a finger at her and they say, she made me do it. And I look at him, I said, did she have a gun to your head? No. Okay, then no, she didn't make you do it. You made a conscious choice to lie to me, to omit, to not tell me. You. By the way, let me address this. The person I was advising and being there for, because they had been left by a girlfriend after 14 years, and who I shared my thoughts with, as they told me I want to get out into the dating scene. And I said, look, you were throwing up just a month ago in your home, depressed. I don't think right now is the best time for you to go into the dating scene, which is why take ownership of you fucking lying to me. You chose to do something that you're like, ah, she's not going to approve. I'm not your mother. I'm your friend. So these are all equations again, where, by the way, people don't, they don't actually contemplate any of this. What I'm sharing with you is a behind the scenes of a human being who's thinking, what the fuck? Do you not have balls? Like, my brain wants to conceptualize how a human being can be in the presence of another human being who's a friend, and literally, she made me do it. There's your three-year-old, my lovely human beings, and it's a three-year-old with a shame button, though, because that's what it is, with a teenager who's leading the room, who's not emotionally accountable and mature. So that's why, man, you can't be a man if you don't know how to be a whole human being emotionally to a woman who's a whole woman. Let me specify, because of course, this is where it's not about genders. Women are just as bad when they go chaotic on men. I've seen it. I do not condone it. I do not condone any type of shaming, blaming, faulting, or revenging. There's no need if you're a functional adult, and that's emotional maturity. So when people like to count the number of scars they got on their heart, they are not emotionally mature. If they're talking to you about post-traumatic growth, they're going to in fact use their therapist's words, and they're going to use to you and with you a lot of language that is actually very mature. I've met people who are in therapy, and they know everything about their inner child. In fact, one of the men, lovely man, borderline personality disorder, let me share his story, because he's a perfect person to use as a lot of things. So we're going to use this. He and I have had a number of interactions. They're definitely sweet in being concerned with my unconditionally loving heart. So as we began this conversation of mysticism, they tell me I'm a mystic too. I have a lot of things that take place. They share with me that they have met people of the whole Masons, not Masons. So they've been in what is it called? Not riots, but they've been participant to activist stuff, I guess. I don't know, because I didn't get into it, but political stuff. So they believe in conspiracies, and that's why they were telling me. They were saying, you know, what you're doing is dangerous. And they were trying to say that being unconditionally loving is dangerous. And I was like, what are you talking about? There's no danger. I'm looking at you right now. You're human. And they were trying again to not convince me, but to present to me there's danger out there. And I'm listening as they present the Mason person and then this other situation. And I looked again and I said, these are people who, if anything, they can use a good therapist. And if they do anything excessively wrong, they will get their justice in court. I'm not going to make this into some movie which is where people who are not grounded in their prefrontal cortex, you got pseudo-aliveness. There's our teenagers again. There's our hypervigilant modality. There's our people who don't recognize that their default mode network only goes online when they're like in an action movie, which this person in this case is doing as they're talking to me about something that does not make me think, I'm scared. No, I'm not. I don't, what you're telling me means nothing in my ears. I'm a human who knows about police, government, about me being in this plane of earth. This is what it's called to be in a grounded reality as an emotionally mature prefrontal cortex educated. By the way, though, I also do educate myself and I don't believe in any conspiracies. I'm not a flat earther. So however many people want to come, of course, I know they can be true. I don't get lost in them. So when people do their little story bit, I leave them share with me their story because I'm respectful. And so this person's sharing with me their story and I understand that they're trying to warn me and I look at them again and I say, I'm going to again address you. When I look in your eyes, I see a human. I understand what you're telling me. And as I said, I'm a mystic. And when I see a human, I see a human. They're not possessed by anything. What you're talking to me about is something different, which is that I can understand it from a psychological perspective, and I'm trying to share with you my attachment and trauma information. So as we continue discussing, he presents that he was diagnosed with borderline personality disorder, that he's healing, and he's doing really great. And I'm like, that's awesome. So his medicine helped, and a lot of other things helped. And he spoke about how he unfortunately had to tell his mother and his family members that he would be disconnecting from them for some time. So here's where an actual human being who takes their mental health seriously does not do what we see on YouTube. They do not talk about the canceling of a mother, a father, a brother, a sister, a friend. They don't take action like that of blocking, unfriending, getting aggressive with, I'm going to go and call the cops on you when one email gets sent to somebody. No, this is exaggeration. Okay. And on that note, we'll use another story after because, yeah, this one is also to note when people are not going to take ownership and they become victims of their own self consciously and they choose to, yes, not go to good therapy and to actually point a finger at a human being and start talking about them as if they're some demonic spirit, which they're not, as if they cursed them, which they did not. Okay, they had choice. The choice was to say firmly, I will call the police today now if you don't cease and desist immediately. So when a person, women, tell me I'm being hassled by a person and I say to them, is it physically threatening? No. Okay, so do you want to handle, how do you want to handle this? Because you just keep repeating yourself, no, 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 they will stop because this is a three-year-old. I try to explain to them stuff and they choose, oh, but I feel bad. As long as you feel bad, well, let me think. That's, yeah, not going to work, the feeling bad, because they don't know how to work, they're choosing to be in your space. So you either give a ventral vagal no and you keep saying it, and then the three-year-old learns, because that's what they are. When a person doesn't know boundaries, they are not a human being who has healthy self-worth. The minute you are firm, the child in them will cease, because they're really looking for what is called a hit. They're looking to play out their unfinished business from home. And when they don't get met with it, they're like, oh, wait, but this isn't what I'm wanting. So it's all unconscious again. Back to the other story as we close on out this episode. And this person is telling me about the woman that they were engaged with. So they had engaged, given a ring, all of it. The woman left them as they got diagnosed. And long story short, they talked respectfully about that too. So with the family, they said, my family, I told them if they want to come to therapy or they begin therapy, if they work on that, I'm going to totally be involved in that. But until then, because there's triggers and I'm working on my stability and I'm in a really good spot, I had to get some time and tell them that. So the part about knowing how their nervous system works, that's what people learn with a good therapist. And that's why they don't expose themselves to the re-traumatizing environment until they are completely reparented, completely all of you find complete self-empowerment before maybe, and that's where I don't know that because I don't have any type of toxic environment and I have a whole three-year-old heart, so I don't feel ashamed of being myself. I can get into any argument with my family members and they will look at me and I have the plaque, bossy, stubborn, you name it. No shame. And so that's the part where if there's one person who won't ever bow down in a discussion, that's me. I will raise my hands. I'm not saying it's good or bad. I'm just saying I can stand up. I did it as a three-year-old. I still do it as a 44-year-old. And so I'm very easily able to say, this is who I am. You don't have to like it, which is why with partners, I've never had a problem. Polyamory, not a problem to mention. Not a problem to present all of me because if you don't want me, then you're not gonna have to be with me. It's not a competition. It's actually you want to enjoy because you enjoy me, I enjoy you. It's fun. Okay, so this human being respectfully talks about this person who breaks up with him and then she comes back around once he's better and successful business. So he's a successful entrepreneur. He's really awesome, I have to say. I can't wait to meet up with him again because it was an interesting conversation, but he's also full of, I'm an entrepreneur, so I love when I meet someone who is just as proactive and in life and all of it. So we only have a disagreement, quote unquote, on this part about how to handle people, which is actually not even a disagreement. It's more of they think of humanity as dangerous. I don't because they're all people who can be worked with as long as they are open to their inner child. If they're not, they won't be near any of those of us who are in the 5D collective because we're pure love and that triggers their inner child because our restorative embodied self and integrated brain is pure love. It's Purusha Prakriti. Pure consciousness is not about perfection. It's actually about you being your mammalian heritage, which is what we get to keep learning about, which is why it's not pain that has you going to give your heart. No, you get to choose love. That's what creates a giving heart because you say, my humanity, your humanity, your pacha. You say, I'm not going to break your heart because I'm a human, first of all, and so are you. I look at you in your eyes. And again, not the pain. It's the choice to love and the choice to bring forth your truth with another, and it's beautiful. It's the most beautiful thing when you can have a heart to heart. Oh my gosh, it's so. Let me close on out as he shares. This woman goes to him, she's literally wanting a kid and marriage, and he's like, you just want this thing, that's why you're here for, and I'm somebody you've known. And he said, that's not what I want. And the funny thing, though, is that when I said, wow, that took some guts because she literally dumped you in the one moment that you needed her and you were fiancé, meaning they were engaged. I said, I would not have left you. I'm your future wife. I'm going to stick through. And that's what marriage is about. That's what life partnership is about. And this is what was something so obvious as I was a teenager growing up with Jesus, God, and for me, why marriage was important with that blessing, it had nothing to do with the sacrament. I know the sacraments, but it's not about the lists. It was and is to this day any partnership of two people or more. It's the same as it was when I was a teenager, but the difference is I don't use the word marriage because see, this is the part. This woman, the minute he got diagnosed, she's dumping him. And then you come back around once he's healed and successful and you actually legit make a proposal. And I'm thinking, okay, well, yes, we have a bond. So obviously you have a bond, which makes sense. And I have a bond with you, but we want now different things. And so she ended up, you know, finding somebody to have kids with and to get married with. And he spoke well of her because he said, I was scary. So I totally understand. And what I mean by that is he understood her fear, has compassion, did not hold any type of resentment or any of it. So when she came to him, she and him just had a straightforward conversation about what was, you know, the options. And see, for me, totally, he could have chosen a lot of different things, but the person is not open to polyamory or to perhaps having some type of dynamic, which is where other people could think things differently. And this is the beauty of being in a time where we have more options. But she's traditional, he's traditional. And so the idea was marriage, children, and a house. And she got it, not with him. He has a good life. He's happy with where he's going. And he understood her. And he is a person that loves. So see, love is this. He didn't have it easy. He wasn't highlighting, I went through pain. I'm so much suffering. This human being has a diagnosis. So he did not talk about his life like those teenagers online do. There's no need to accentuate what emotions are. When people are exaggerating it, they don't have emotional accountability or maturity in the forefront, meaning you're human. And so it's, oh my God, anytime I feel anything, I'm going to be in pain. So that's not the human love narrative. Human love narrative is we have emotions. It's not about pain. Pain is if I stub my toe. We can talk about our love lives and about choices and about all in a way that involves expansion of consciousness. And so again, while for him, it was clear because of where they are at and were at in that moment in time, the part about him understanding is beautiful. The part of him being able to share with her, I know that we have a bond and that we have a good time together, but I don't want what you want anymore. I would have wanted it way back when, but today this is not that day. And it's because he has a bunch of entrepreneurship shit going on. It's really amazing. But also because he just doesn't want that in his life. You grow beyond these concepts, by the way, my lovely listeners, the concept of the one, the concept of marriage. As you move into your independent life, especially for the solo polyamory person and or the solo monoamory person, this person is very proactive. They have healthy mental, emotional, and physical abilities with their self. And any one of us can be here. I know I'm here. And it's why we share life with no strings attached. So when people come around, we don't say no to love ever. We always welcome love. We welcome love and we welcome being accepted for who we are. So like with me and any one of you who is not only a person who's a mystic, but a person who also chooses how to love in your own unique way, you don't need to feel ashamed. If you do, then that's yours to work with. And when people come at you with their words, if you have healthy self-worth, like I do, I don't and have never felt offended by somebody using words to come back to me and express who I am to them. Because it's understandable that you and I have different subjective experiences. Again, thank you, Mom. Healthy self-worth here. Three-year-old, no shame. So as a teenager, I was told I was different. As a middle 25-year-old, my boyfriend, as he's breaking up with me, he's saying, I thought you would change. And by that time, I'm like, yeah, I don't change. I don't even know how that came to your fucking brain. And I'm thinking, 4 years of my life with you, and you thought I'd change? What is this? So when you meet people who don't know confidence again and again and again, for me, it's straightforward. It ain't pain that creates any type of scenario for your life. It's if you have the ability to stand tall, you will know a life like I'm sharing with you, like this dude, he stood up for himself. He has a different, completely different path, but he stood up for himself. He was very respectful, very open, very knowledgeable. He did not get in this woman's face in any way. He did not harbor resentment. When I see those teenagers with their whole saga, twin flames and all of that, twin flame is not a saga, okay? It's choice points that you have with your oversoul. And when I see them, they're basically mean girl type attitude. And it's not pretty to see. And at the same time, it's their journey and they don't have their 0-1-year-old, 3-year-old or a good therapist at hand. They don't want to. No, they're too busy being a part of their herd, looking good with their, I'm anointed, I'm special, I'm this. So the spiritual bypassers, they're the group of people that are codependent, the blamers and then the martyr superiors. You'll see them hang out, low self-esteem, indirect communication, passive aggressive. They don't know how to manipulate at all, let alone have boundaries. And when a pacha's in town, they will know that it's a pacha. And that's because we don't actually do that. We're going to do direct communication. When they come at you with projection, it's not, oh, let me catch it. Here it is. Okay, what? What are you doing? Excuse me, I didn't understand your words. Can you try again? So we get to always be people together, choosing love, very straightforward, being able to know that pain is stubbing your toe because emotional accountability, maturity, and just the ability to be in your integrated brain, okay? It's not a race. If there's challenges with it, we can work with it. I do talk about that, but I'm just trying to say the ability to tend to your emotional plane, it's yours. If it's hard, then there's good therapists out there that support, and we can keep talking about how you can work with that, because it's beautiful to feel deeply and then to share your whole three-year-old art and to be in compassionate, kind, and honest relationships. Again, they're the most amazing. When I have my men, the ones who are honest, I'm loving it. My women too. And days, I don't have yet any days. But what I'm saying is, when you have a piece of Purusha Prakriti, you have the best of time, and they consistently stick around. Not just sometimes, they consistently want to grow and build a snowman. So it's really awesome to be here. The 5D Collective and these energies are amazing. I look forward to being back with more. Have a great day.